Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
From the Land of Grand University at Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 25th day of March 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Veik. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. And we'll take a look at the agricultural cash grain segment with the folks at the Andersons facility near Logansport, Indiana. That's their Clymers ethanol plant. We'll discuss the weather forecast to Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. We'll tell us whether the tractors can and maybe should move in the Delta over the next couple of days, whether that'll happen over the next 2 weeks, and how hard red winter wheat is coming out of dormancy in the High Plains. We'll do that all as we make our way through this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report and get an update on the potential of the grain stocks numbers for soybeans from Daryl Good on this Wednesday afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check the numbers as they finished in Chicago for this Wednesday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit were up a penny and three quarters today at $3.95. July at 4.03, up 1 3/4, and September at 4.10 1/4, up 1.5 cents. December corn at $4.18, 3/4 higher, and the March at 4.26 3/4, up 0.5. Soy complex down 3 cents, $9.78 3/4 in the May contract. The settlement price, July at 9.82 1/2, down 4. August 9.81, down 4.5. September beans and nickel lower at $9.64 3/4, and the November futures at $9.57 1/4, down 5 1/4 cents. January of next year, $9.62 1/4 in the bean pit, down 5 1/4. Bean meal at $3.24.50, down $1.80. Bean oil at $31.04, that's up 7, or rather down 7 cents for the day. Chicago soft red winter wheat in the lead May, down 4.5 cents at $5.19. July, the harvest month, at $5.23 3/4, 4.5 lower. And July hard red at $5.68 1/4, down 0.25 cents. Live cattle futures from Chicago finished the nearby April at $161.75 on the afternoon, down 25 cents. June at $152.30, 75 lower. Feeder cattle in the March at $217.70, up 52.5, but April down $1.25 at $217.67.5. And the lean hogs for the day finished $1.10 higher in the April contract at $59.70. That for 100 pounds. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's O-R-G.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
In the outside markets, crude oil at this hour at $49.19 a barrel, $1.68 higher. The June there at $50.77, that's up $1.64. The heating oil or diesel fuel, $1.72 0.7 per gallon, $0.2 0.1 cents higher. And the gasoline, up 3 0.6 cents per gallon at $1.83 1/2. Natural gas on the day at $2.72 0.7, a nickel and 9 cents lower, and ethanol futures at $1.50 even. That's down 1 1/10 cents for the day. Outside markets show the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,708, down 241 points. Gold futures around $1,196, or up $4.50. And the dollar index on the day at 97.205 is down 0.241 for the day. From the National Weather Service, the forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area today says we'll see mostly cloudy skies, a high of 56 degrees, on a west-southwest wind at about 10 miles an hour. Tonight, showers, they'll come before 1 a.m., and then showers, possibly a thunderstorm, between 1 and 4 a.m. Central Time, of course. Showers likely after that. A low of 37, north winds this evening at 6 to 13, gusting to 17. Chance of rainfall set at 80% for the overnight time frame. Tomorrow, showers before 7 in the morning, mostly cloudy, otherwise a high of 44. Northwest winds at 13 to 15, with gusts up to 21 miles an hour. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Well, let's turn our attention directly at this hour to the marketplace, and we should discuss that with Jackie Veig. She's at Stuart Peterson in Champaign County on this 25th day of March. Thanks so much, Jackie, for taking the time with us. It looked like it was a really quiet day in Chicago, at least for the corn pit.
Oh, can you hear me snoozing right now? It certainly was. I think what we've developed, Todd, is more of a day trading type market. You know, if you see the market a little bit higher, you'll see it push to be higher, then it'll push lower, then you see some buying come back in, then you see some selling come back in. I mean, it's just a typical market when we're ahead of a major report like the grain stocks and the acreage report. And so one interesting thing, though, is technically December 15 corn traded above the 100-day moving average. That's the first time it's been able to do that since the 4th of March. So I thought that was a good thing. We'll see if we can add on to that tomorrow.
All right. And then, of course, nearby December, that it also had a very narrow trading range too, right?
Oh, it did. You know, it was, 3 cents or 3¾ cents is what it was. So the trading ranges have been narrow. Some interesting, just FYI, December corn, narrowest yearly trading range since 2006 from January 1st to expiration has been $1.10. So far this year, we've done 39.5. And for November beans, the narrowest yearly range since 2006 has been $1.33 from January to expiration. So far, we've done 92.5 cents. So it certainly opens the window to perhaps some more wildness. And at the same time, if we see oil prices stay down where they are or trade in this lower range, it'll probably reduce some of our potential volatility unless we get some major weather.
So these narrow ranges would go back to 2006, really to the beginning of the wide volatility swings that started in roughly 2005. But 2006 would have been early on, back to a period, I suppose, that Gary Schnitke has pointed to, which is a period from 2001 to 2004, where things were pretty calm, although we have a lot to go through yet this year at this time, and it starts in the Delta region. Planters usually roll, but I don't think they've been able to get much of a good start yet, have they?
No, not at all. In fact, in Mississippi, they only have about 1% of their corn planted. They've got the wettest spring down there in the last 25 years going, which, you know, the composition of their soil says that, Drew Lerner said today that basically it's changing to warmer, drier, means that they could get rolling again rather quickly. But, you know, we're getting to the end of the ideal planting time frame. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they can hammer it in as quickly as we can. We know that they're equipped to do that, but they're going to have some breaks. I believe even if it's slightly muddy, you'll see guys out there just trying to do whatever they can to get it in the ground ahead so that, you know, the temperatures have been fairly decent, you know, and you just want to get it germinated so that it's not pollinating in the hottest time of the year.
We are at a time of year when we start to move usage to other parts of the world, not domestic usage, but outside usage. How are exports holding up?
Well, you know, the exports never cease to amaze when it comes to beans and those types of things, although today was an interesting day. It was the first time that we've had, you know, the rules are is that if someone buys 100 metric tons, 100 million metric tons, it has to be reported. And today we actually had two reports. One came from corn to Mexico and one was meal to Canada. Those are the first reports since the 10th of March in excess of 100 million metric tons. Now, you know, we keep hearing that China's buying under the radar. And yet, you know, in the past, what we've seen is China's been buying, and then we see cancellations. So Thursday's report, we'll be watching closely to see, you know, if we actually gain or if we lose.
The next thing on the list we probably ought to talk about, and we've been talking about it for a while, and eventually these reports will get to us next Tuesday, March the 31st at 11 o'clock. Grain stocks come out. What are kind of the ranges that traders are looking for? We talk about the acreage a lot, but the grain stocks we haven't put too much stock into at this point.
Well, and you know, that's interesting, Todd, because when you come right down to it, the grain stocks is the most important report. of any of them. Acreage has its implications, but grain stocks is what really gives us a hard number as far as usage goes. Now, they're expecting 7.6 billion on grain stocks this year for corn compared to 7 billion last year. Would make sense because of the size of the crop. Beans 1.348 versus 994 last year, and wheat 1.40 versus 1.057 last year. Now, the bigger thing that I think is more important is to look at what, when we get the report, the first thing I'll be doing is figuring out the percentage that farmers have in their hands versus the commercials. And last year, corn, farmers had 55% of the corn crop in their hands on this report last year, 38.4% of the beans, and 22.4% of the wheat. So, you know, I had forgotten that they had 55%. So it's going to be interesting to see if they actually have more than that. You know, all we talk about is there's so much corn out in the country, and, you know, we know that there is a lot out there, but is it going to be more than 55% of this giant crop that we actually brought in? And so that's something we'll certainly be looking closely at.
Why?
Why? Because it's direction. You know, we'll get a response from the acreage report. We did some research on the acreage report. This is the most volatile report for the beans throughout the year, and the third most volatile for corn. But the more important thing is that if you get we found in the research that if you get a bearish response to the report, you usually will retest the highs at some time in the future. And if you get a bullish response to the report, you'll usually retest the lows at some time in the future. And so that's on the acreage side of things. Now, if you look at the bigger picture, the trade will eventually, in the same day, basically, do a lot of digesting as far as where the grain stocks is and who's holding it, okay? You know, when the commercial is holding it, it's considered to be in what they call strong hands. You know, they have much deeper pockets, so they'll hang on to it for a longer period of time. They have the ability to do that. If the commercial is holding the larger portion of the crop, then you don't nearly have as deep a cut into the lower prices, because they've now taken the place of the farmer, you know, from the standpoint that the farmer wants the most for his product, the commercial wants to pay him the least, which is correct business. But once the commercial owns it, he wants the higher price for the product because he now owns it, and so that usually limits how low we can go. So that's why those percentage numbers are extremely important as far as looking down the road as to what may happen.
Mm-hmm. One of the things we probably ought to take a look at this point, too, is what kind of yields we have coming out of South America. What do you hear early on from them? I know they have been pretty good, but maybe we have some better indication at this time.
Well, Dr. Cornier said the yields coming out of Argentina, especially on corn and beans, are well above the estimates, and so just extraordinarily good yields. You know, the key down there, of course, comes to will they move to the market or won't they move to the market? You know, his comment was there's probably going to be more silo bags down there than you can possibly imagine, and yet we know that the government has just instituted the reporting of any silo bag sales to anyone. And so they're going to, you know, I guess what it comes down to, Todd, is when will the Argentine government really step up and put so much pressure on the farmer that he's actually going to bring the extra, and he is sitting on approximately, the guess is about 7 million metric tons of beans yet, about 280 million bushels, to be able to, when are they going to bring it to the marketplace? And that'll have an impact on us when it happens.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today, Jackie. We do appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd. You have a great one.
You
Take
too.
Care.
That's Jackie Beggs. She's with Stuart Peterson from Champaign County. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Let's check in now with Dave Dickey, our Director of Agricultural Programming. He has an update of the agricultural news.
USDA is moving ahead with authority under the 2014 Farm Bill to limit farm program payments for people called farm managers who are not actively engaged in real farm management or operations. USDA says that farm managers who are in non-family joint ventures or general partnerships must now prove they are contributing at least 500 hours of farm management work per year, or at least 25% of the time necessary for the farm to operate. The rules will affect producers starting in 2016 who are enrolled in agricultural risk coverage, risk loss coverage, marketing loans, and loan deficiency payments. The rules only apply to some farm businesses. Congress exempted family-owned entities. USDA says as many as 1,400 operations could lose eligibility under the rules, saving around $50 million over a three-year period. Australia Trade Minister Andrew Robb says that a landmark trade agreement between the U.S. and 11 Pacific countries could be completed within a month, but only if President Barack Obama receives authority from Congress to fast-track approval. Robb says that the nations are very close in terms of the mechanics, but that no decisions will be made without the U.S. being locked in through Fast Trade Authority. The Trans-Pacific Partnership could set common trade rules across a number of sectors, from the environment to drug patients, and covering countries, including Japan, that account for around 40% of global economic output. H.J. Heinz Company is buying Kraft Foods Group Incorporated, creating what the companies say will be the third largest food and beverage company in North America. The deal was engineered by Heinz owner, the Brazilian investment firm 3G Capital, and billionaire investor Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway. The combined company's brands will include Kraft, Heinz, Oscar Mayer, and others. Both companies' boards have unanimously approved the deal. The plan still needs approval from federal regulators. Smithfield Foods says its fourth quarter earnings surged as the pork processor continued to benefit from strong demand for bacon and other packaged meat products. Virginia-based Smithfield said sales at its packaged meats segment, its largest business by revenue, rose 9.8% to $2.2 billion. Overall, Smithfield reported a profit of $152.6 million, up from $34.7 million a year ago. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming at Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, hoping you'll visit our website. It's willag.org. That's willag.org. You know, March the 31st, traders and farmers are likely to pay a great deal more attention to the number of soybean acres USDA expects will be planted this season than the number of soybean bushels left in the United States. However, the stocks figure may still hold some surprises. Last December, the United States Department of Agriculture reported a surprisingly low grain stocks number for soybeans. The agency counts available bushels of most crops once a quarter, in December, March, June, and September. University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good says the December 1 soybean stocks number implied a record large residual use of soybeans during the first quarter, September through November period of the 2014-15 marketing year.
Some folks explain part of the large residual use with the observation that more soybeans were in transport on December 1 than in previous years. That is the explanation that was apparently favored by the market, as March 2015 soybean futures closed 36 cents lower on the day of the surprisingly small estimate. Another possible explanation for the large residual use of soybeans during the first quarter of the year is that the 2014 crop has been overestimated.
This argument might be supported by the higher-than-expected soybean prices this year, given the estimated size of the surplus projected to be generated by the large 2014 crop. In addition, basis levels have been really generally strong for most of the year. Basis is the difference between the price of a futures contract in Chicago and the local cash bid. USDA's March 1, 2015 estimate of soybean stocks may add some clarity to this debate, writes Darrell Good in his weekly outlook posted on the Farm Doc Daily website. Expectations for the magnitude of the March 1 stocks are based on the estimate of the December 1 stocks, imports during the quarter, and estimates of soybean consumption during the quarter.
If the size of the 2014 crop has been accurately estimated, the March 1 stocks estimate should imply a large negative seed and residual use of soybeans during the second quarter of the marketing year. That certainly was the case in previous years when residual use was large during the first quarter. A reasonable expectation this year might be about a negative 90 million bushels. A March 1 stocks estimate near 1.41 billion bushels would be consistent with the estimated size of the 2014 crop and known use of soybeans through February 2015.
Given this, if the USDA's grain stocks report shows something substantially different than 1.41 billion bushels on hand, then it should renew the debate over the size of last fall's soybean harvest. Such a debate, however, would not be resolved for another 6 months. The USDA's estimate of the crop size, that's frequently revised, but not until the release of the September 1 stocks estimate. It comes out on September the 30th this year. Goods has historically implied seed and residual use of soybeans during the first half of the marketing year has not been a particularly good predictor of the size or direction of any subsequent change in the estimated size of the crop. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Let's take a look now at the cash grain segment. The folks at the Andersons join us. Stephen Lindenberg is here. He's from their Climbers facility near Logansport, Indiana. Hi, Stephen. Thanks so much for taking the time with us. Farmers are busy doing a lot of things, and it looks to me like you guys might be on the hunt for corn. Tell me about it.
Yeah, you bet. Farmers are busy doing other things. The lack of corn movement and a little bit of weather fluctuation has kept the grind from a processing standpoint. Corn's disappearing every day in-house, and the need to find that as seems to be taking a step larger in the upward direction every day we go. Basis continues to creep, and the last 72 hours of trade has kept corn lingering right there just shy of $4 that we're starting to see some movement, but definitely searching for more.
Yeah, so your spot month bids are two over, it appears,
delivery
in March, April, and May. They're over the May contract, so you're just, what, 3 cents away from $4 at $3.97 in each of those delivery periods?
Yeah, pretty much, and when you incorporate the spread to the July, I mean, we're practically optioned to two over the May all the way through July. When you look at the spread, I mean, based off of where our bid's at on the deferred, it's pretty solid right now. I think we get this to trade $4 on the board, and I think the market finds a lot of corn available for sale, which could be the icing on the cake, but the market hasn't found what they've needed quite yet as we continue to try the 395 to 97 level here as we move forward.
Yeah, any thoughts that farmers will wait too long and it just won't come?
I do think that's a concern. I think it's when it's here, knowing that 2 weeks ago we were 20 cents off the market that we are today. I mean, the rally has been put back into this like we had asked for. There will come a point that, I mean, I think we touch $4 and we got to be getting darn close to the market finds what it needs.
And for the processors for soybeans in the area, have they been on the hunt for beans as well?
That's starting to slow, and the focus is shifting to corn, but there's definitely, compared to bids on the nearby beans to new crop beans, you can definitely see the demand for the front end is certainly more impactful, and feels like the new crop bid is focusing more on what could be heavy planted bean acres here on that 31st of March report.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
You bet, Todd. Thanks.
That, of course, Stephen Lindenberg. He's of the Andersons Climbers facility, located there near Logansport, Indiana. They're at ethanol plant. Back in 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Lobster Newberg Day. The dish was perhaps invented by Ben Wenberg, a sea captain in the fruit trade between Cuba and New York. He first demonstrated the dish at Delmonico's restaurant in New York City, where the creation was added to the menu as lobster a la Wenberg. Months later, after an argument with Charles Delmonico, Wenberg was banished from the restaurant, and Delmonico flipped a few letters in Wenberg's name on the menu. Lobster Newberg was born. It's also Pecan Day. In 1775, George Washington planted pecan trees, some of which still survive at Mount Vernon. The trees were supposedly a gift to Washington from Thomas Jefferson. On this day in agricultural history in 1848, William Keith Brooks was born. An American zoologist, he was a champion for the conservation of the Chesapeake Bay oyster. In 1867, Ferdinand Runge died. He was a German chemist who developed a method for obtaining sugar from beet juice. And in 1914, Norman Ernest Borlaug was born. He was one who laid the groundwork of the so-called Green Revolution, the agricultural technological advance that promised to alleviate world hunger. And he developed a wheat-rye hybrid with higher yield and protein content. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report. This is a Wednesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner is with us now to take up the weather forecast for the Midwest. There will be farmers in the Corn Belt, in the southern part of the Corn Belt, maybe the Delta region, that would really like to start moving a bit. Will they get an opportunity over the next couple of weeks, do you suppose?
Well, you know, I think what we've seen in the past is that it almost doesn't matter unless it's raining or the temperature's way below freezing. I think they'll still push some seed into the ground. It seems like that's been the tendency. But as far as optimum conditions is concerned, I don't think that we'll have that over this next week to 10 days. There will be a bunch of rain that will come and go across the region, and we are going to have a shot of cold air coming up here later this week that will bring the soil temperatures down for a little while. There's not a real good sign right now that we're going to see widespread warmer than normal conditions or general lack of precipitation. I think we're going to be fighting some moisture and we're going to be fighting some cool weather every once in a while, but the temperatures probably won't be as much as the issue, as much as the mud out there in some of the fields.
Fighting mud and wet conditions in the Delta parts of the southern United States. There are other parts of the United States that have been very dry. Do you see changing conditions for them?
I do, only for short periods of time. The lower parts of the Mississippi River Basin, the Delta in particular, and portions of the southeastern states will see somewhat drier tendencies over this next 5 to 7 days. But with that said, there's going to be a little bit of rain that occurs tonight and tomorrow in some of that region. And there's going to be another little frontal boundary that will push through about midweek next week. So it's not going to be the ideal situation, but it's better. The problem is when we go into the second week of April, the odds are pretty good that not only the lower Midwest, but both the Delta and the interior parts of the southeast will see more frequent rain once again. And the concern will be, obviously, that we'll be on the sidelines again for a little while in those areas.
Do you have concerns about the hard red winter wheat crop as it comes out of dormancy?
Certainly there is concern there for a couple of reasons. One, of course, is to find out how much loss we have from the winter cold. I don't think that'll be much of an issue, but we are curious to see what kind of assessments we can come up with. The other thing, though, is the weather pattern, because of the California drought. That California drought is actually having a negative impact on hard red winter wheat country, because this is a year that we're supposed to be getting storms into the southern U.S. plains from Southern California and northern Mexico. And this Modoki El Nino event is preventing California from getting the storms that it should be getting. So when it does rain in hard red winter wheat country, it's from storms that form right over the region, and they move out of the area fairly quickly. And so there's a limited amount of time for Gulf of Mexico moisture to be entrained into the region. And so for that reason, I think some of the high plains region will be the battling dryness for an extended period of time.
Drew, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Well, thank you, and you have yourself a good afternoon.
That, of course, is Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. Don't forget that there are a couple of really important upcoming events. The first one is Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. Central Time. USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service will release the March 31 prospective plantings. That's the acreage figures, as well as the second quarter grain stocks numbers. And then that evening we'll be in Sherman, Illinois at the Farm Credit Illinois Illinois building. It's open and free and available to everybody who wants to come, along with Jackie Bakes and Mike Zuzulo and myself. We'll go through those numbers and what they mean for the rest of the next several months. You can find all those details on our website at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.